IVM.
This is Storytellers and Storysellers live on tape. You're listening to Vineet Kanavar on the IVM Podcast Network. This is a World Music Day special episode, and we're talking to a very special musical talent on this episode. I have recently found out that the person we're talking to today is also related to me through my wife. And we just found that out as well. And we were like, whoa, small world. But give warm storytellers welcome to Kamakshi Khanna. Hi, Kamakshi. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Wonderful to have you on. I've very recently come across not just your music, but also the really cool things that you do on social media. And I thought this would be just a wonderful conversation on the upalaksh of World Music Day. And we'll sit and talk about your music, what you've been up to, how the pandemic's been like, and also about Lift Up, the VH1 MTV and MTV Beats event that you're part of on World Music Day. But let me get this started, right? Tell us, how has the pandemic been for you? I mean, I know you're a solo musician. Pandemic has given us a lot of time to be solo. We're sitting at home. I mean, I'm just working myself into dust. But how has it been for you?
I mean, it's been tough, challenging for everybody in so many ways.
Right.
But I think I've definitely been extremely privileged to just be safe and to have all my loved ones recover from COVID, and all of that's been, you know, there's so much to be grateful for. But in terms of being a musician, I think everything I knew about being a musician kind of changed, you know, from suddenly, like the goal was to perform more live, to, you know, work with musicians in the same room. And that's what I knew as the normal of being a musician. I've literally never sat on my desk for such a long time for anything, you know. And now it is all really just about motivating yourself every day to do things alone and look into your screens, you know. So it is like, initially it was honestly quite great because I got a lot of time to just focus on myself and what kind of music I like. And it was really introspective and really, you know, I could be a little more intentional with my choices. I wasn't running around doing all kinds of gigs. That was lovely. I actually loved it.
Right.
But I think now that it's been a year, I'm really starting to feel the lack of the things that I really loved about being a musician, which is performing with people in the same room. So it's been great. We managed to do a lot of things and somehow push ourselves to, like, you know, release music, and gotten a lot of love for it. So honestly, mostly it's been as good as I could have hoped for. So yeah.
That's wonderful. I mean, it's what I've heard from anybody in the music industry right now, is that last 1.5 years, our output has like quadrupled. We've done a lot of music work, but now we're kind of at our limit. We want to go out there. We want to perform. We want to collaborate, work with other musicians. Let me ask you this, though. Has this been a period of self-discovery with you and your art for you as well? Is there something new that you've discovered you could do? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I think more than just discovering, I think it's a process, you know, like every year you discover something new about yourself. Self-discovery is like endless as an artist. But I think this year specifically, as I said, every choice that I've made, every thing that I've put out, I've just put in so much more attention to detail and so much more love into it, because simply because I had the privilege of time and the privilege of not having to, you know, make ends meet, because I quickly moved back from Bombay to Delhi when the pandemic hit. And it's been quite easy that when it comes to, like, there's no pressure of paying rent all the time. And I've just tried to use that as an opportunity to really just delve into my music and spend all my energy and time on that. And yeah, I think everything that I've been doing now makes a little more sense than it did before. And now I think post, when things get normal, if they do, I know that the things that I'll choose will be more intentional and more like coming from an honest place, if you know what I mean. Like, I wouldn't be doing all the things that I was doing before. So that's something I've discovered about myself for sure.
That's beautiful, man. I think, and you're also a young artist, right? Making their way into the industry. I think that's a very interesting formative period for you, right? It tells you what you want to do, tells you what you don't want to do, and how you want to spend your time creating. I think that's a wonderful way that you put it as well, right? You've used the privilege of safety and time to work on yourself and figure out what is it that you want to do. Kamashi, let me ask you this about your music. How would you describe to someone who's never heard it? Right now, I've heard a bunch of your songs. It's a very ethereal sort of singer-songwriter feel that runs through it. But as I was listening to the music that you've made, I also saw that you shifted from, you shifted languages as well, with Kareeb being in Hindi, while your other stuff is a little bit in English. But while we talk about languages in a second, how would you describe your music? Or how do you put yourself in a genre? What do you say about the kind of music that you make?
Yeah, so I think for me, my music is, haven't ever been really able to put it in a box of a genre, but it still essentially is singer-songwriter, pop, easy listening music. But I think it comes from a very vulnerable place, and kind of the lyrics that I write kind of feel like, you know, you're a fly on the wall of my personal life. Like, they're very direct and honest. Like, there's no... barely you'll hear any like metaphors. That's something I've gotten into a little later, but the lyrics are extremely direct and extremely like they it is what it is, you know. All my lyrics are to the point about how I'm really feeling and what I'm going through. And when it comes to the genre, I'm very inspired by R&B in the way I sing. I think vocally, that's where my inspiration comes from. Melodically, I try to keep my melodies as simple and approachable as possible. But I also love folk music. So I feel like it's a strange blend of R&B, folk, and pop. And when it comes to my Hindi stuff, I feel like it's kind of reminiscent of 90s indie pop somehow, because that's what I grew up to. So I feel like whenever I write music in Hindi, it gets inspired by that. But also in touch with what's happening right now. So in terms of the soundscape, in terms of the way I sing, it's very inspired by R&B and, you know, pop music that's being made right now. And in terms of what I write about, I generally, like, you know, I daydream a lot. I sometimes lose touch with reality. I overthink a lot. So literally all the thoughts that go on, you know, are things that could become songs. So it's kind of like, I feel like my music is, maybe it could be someone's cup of tea. If you're someone who likes to, you know, introspect a lot and get lost in their own thoughts, I feel like my music could be possibly the soundtrack and like the, you know, background like noise of that situation. So that's how I like to think of my music.
That's such a wonderful way of putting it. I heard you talk about your journey as a musician, starting out as a musician on another podcast or another episode of podcast you'd done a while ago. And the sense I got was that there is something good that can come out of the trauma of parents being, hey, beta gaake sunao.
Yeah.
Is that true? I mean, that's how I took it, right?
I'm a firm believer of that. I believe that if someone says beta gaana sunao, you must sing. And I'm this auntie now. Because I have a lot of students I also teach, and they keep complaining about this, that, you know, my mom, she's so annoying. She keeps making me sing. And they think that I would like back them up. But I'm just like, you know what? No, go do it. Go sing. Because if you're able to sing in that an uncomfortable situation, but I don't know, people could disagree. It's also, you know, it's just something I personally believe in. Then I feel like I've sung in front of so many aunties, so many uncles who are not listening, who are not, you know, giving a shit so many times, that now I feel like I'm very prepared to sing in uncomfortable situations. I feel like I actually owe it all to that. And yeah, so one of the situations was that I was, one of my best friends actually, her dadi used to love, you know, me singing for her. So every sleepover would start with like an hour of me sitting with her dadi and singing, which is really sweet.
Wonderful.
And it made me, you know, I'm prepared now if hopefully, like I better be, if someone just randomly says, okay, can you sing that song? Can you sing this? I won't freak out, because it is very scary to sing in front of people. You're expressing yourself. But I feel like the more you put yourself in uncomfortable positions, the more mistakes you make, the more of a fool you make out of yourself, the more you'll grow. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's part of your armor as an artist, I think. It's those experiences you carry forward. And fair warning, we will ask you to sing at some point during this conversation. So
nice, I'm ready.
Amazing, amazing.
All thanks to all those aunties.
Yeah. It's something that's very cultural about Indians, I feel. This resentment towards being asked to perform, even when you are a good performer, right? I was at, many years ago, almost 10 years ago now, I was attending a course at Trinity Laban in Greenwich. And one of the music theory teachers there was like, who among you sing? And it was like class of 15, 20 people. Who among you sing? And gingerly, a couple of us put our hands up and she was like, that's your problem. You know, you are not looking at this as an opportunity to perform what your obvious talents. Mm. You're looking at this as, oh, just another chore. Now I have to sing and perform.
Yeah.
Whereas if that same opportunity was given to a bunch of 15 students that are native to the UK, they'll be like, bro, I want to sing first. First, it's got to be me first. I feel like it's an Indian thing, but I'm glad you're giving us proof for the upside of this whole thing. So to anybody who's listening, who's ever been asked to perform in front of your uncles and aunties, go ahead and do it. Do it, absolutely, right? And that's what music and that's what singing really is in its essence. People coming together, enjoying, having a good time. So start there.
Yeah, that's where it starts. Like if you can give your loved ones a good time, then that's where it grows from there, you know?
Absolutely, absolutely. Give your loved ones a good time, even if you sing badly. Do it. Mm. They'll laugh and still have a good time.
Yeah, just do it. Confidence. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Just confidence. Absolutely. That's all you need.
let me ask you this though, Kamashi. And something that I've noticed as a recent change in your catalog or in the songs that you've put out. Your first few albums or EPs were primarily in English. And then you had Kareeb come out, which is a Hindi song. And Kareeb, I mean, on Spotify is 100K listens or more right now.
Yeah.
So congratulations on that.
Thank you.
But tell us how you've kind of grown or adapted from English to Hindi. And let me qualify this question a little bit. Mm. It's not just the words that you're singing that are different, right? The melodic delivery in English is different from Hindi.
Yeah.
The way your voice has to be, I think the texture of your voice often is also very different in Hindi as opposed to English. Tell us about this step that you've made. Is that something very conscious
or was
it like, hey, Kareeb is what's coming to my head and that's what I'm going to do? How did you kind of take this decision?
I think it was a bit of both. I think it was a matter of time that I would start writing music in Hindi because I enjoy singing in Hindi as much as I enjoy singing in English. But writing was always tricky because I just wouldn't think poetically in Hindi. Like my brain doesn't think in Hindi, you know, like what is music? Like writing your songs is basically the conversation that you're having with yourself in your head.
Right.
And if that's in a certain language, that's what will flow out. But with Hindi, I realize, unless I'm like, you know, there's some situations in which my inner monologue is in Hindi, which is not a poetic one. It's probably like, yaar, what have I done? Or like, you know, like something very basic. I wouldn't think deep thoughts in Hindi.
Right.
And that was a huge mental block, and I always wanted to write in Hindi. It just wouldn't happen. And I think once I was put under this pressure situation where someone was like, "Oh, we're looking for female singer songwriters to feature on our YouTube channel. It's a huge opportunity." And that's when I just like sat down and pushed myself to write Kareeb. I recorded this like really shitty ukulele groove and recorded my vocals and sent it, and it totally got rejected. And then for a while, I was like, maybe it's not a good enough song, whatever, forget it. And then like a week later, I heard it back and I actually really liked it. And that's how Kareeb happened specifically. And that kind of opened the door for me to write more music in Hindi. In terms of why I sound so different from Cakewalk and Marshmello is because it's also been so many years. So I feel like the textural change to my vocal delivery, the songwriting, I feel like even in my English music, which I haven't released, I'm releasing it soon, is very similar to Kareeb actually now. Because that's just a reflection of, you know, taking that time. And so that's what I'm consciously trying to do as well, that even though they're all different, even though it's in English and it's in Hindi, I should still sound like the same human. I should still sound like the same artist who has the same essence of course, the genres could be completely different. The style could be completely different. But I think it's a product of time. It's a conscious decision to work on, like, write in language that you love and resonate with. Why not? Like, it's what I've been speaking my whole life. And I love Hindi music as much as I love English music. So why close that door? And also just in general, like, the voice changes, things change, life changes, perspectives change. So it's just a product of all of that. Yeah.
It's wonderful. I love it. Love the way you put it as well. I think it's such an exciting time for, first of all, making original music in India, right? In the last 7, 8, 10 years, I've really pushed the non-film music scene up. And I mean, there's a certain degree of pride that is coming back in writing music in Hindi as well. And whether you see it in rap, or you see it with folks like Lifafa doing their thing, and with singer-songwriters as well. Performing in Hindi, I think, is definitely making a big, big comeback. I think it's something that's become cooler as well as music discovery has gotten sorted out a little bit more. I think it's very, very du jour.
Yeah, like, I love how being authentic is becoming cool in the indie music scene. And I'm not saying that maybe that wasn't there, but there was a little bit, in my experience, of a little, like, you know, okay, this is one group, like, this is, you know, there was always this bifurcation. But with everybody being in their own rooms, especially this year, everybody's just sharing what they know, their experience, and kind of being authentic about it. So, and a lot of people who otherwise wouldn't listen to Hindi independent music are now doing that, you know. And so my next single, which I really want to talk about, Dur, it's releasing on 18th June, has been a really long process of writing music in Hindi. And I actually got to work with Sameer Rahat on the lyrics. It's a collaboration with Kabir Kathpalia of music. But, like, he produced the song. But I was struggling so much to write the lyrics for this song because I feel like I wasn't being able to articulate my emotions in Hindi. And I reached out to a lyricist. So that's also something that I've been doing for the first time. Because honestly, that works, you know. If lyrics are not your strength in a specific situation with a particular idea and strength, like idea and situation and the emotion that you're trying to put out, then it's okay to ask for help.
Absolutely.
And that's also something I've started doing. So Sameer has been my co-writer for this song. And he's an incredible Urdu poet. And I never thought, like, coming from a very blues, R&B, pop background, that I would be able to be in a situation where I'm like, nahi, I want to ask this amazing Urdu poet that I look up to write the lyrics of the song with me and work with a pop producer. And then the person who's played drums is actually, he plays with Cognac Net. And it's a full-on rock band, you know. So someone coming from a rock band, coming from a pop producer, a pop singer-songwriter, an Urdu singer-songwriter, producer, poet, everybody coming together to create something, I feel like is a reflection of the fact that the lines are kind of, you know, blurry, the walls are kind of breaking in the independent music scene. Everyone can work with everybody. Anybody can do anything. And that's really exciting for me.
It really is. Even as a listener, it's very exciting because you listen to this artist for a while and then they switch it up and play something completely different. It's a very interesting place to be a listener as well. But I love the way you've put it, right? It's about walls breaking down. It's about collaborations. Mm. It's about having the faith to step out of your comfort zone and not be worried to ask for help. I think that's a very important place to be, both as an artist and as a scene, right? I remember, again, growing up, the indie bands that we would listen to were Zero and Pin Drop Violence. And they're all you know, great bands, but pretty much a set template of doing things, right? This is what a blues track in alternative music sounds like. And that's what we're going to do. And fast forward 15 years and I have given away my
People are creating their own template now.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
People are just making their own template. And that's beautiful.
And I absolutely love it. Right? Let me ask you this though. I know that you're performing on World Music Day on 21st of June.
Yes. I'm
at a concert called Lift Up. It's being organized by VH1, MTV and MTV Beats. I've been told to name all three brands, so I will again and again.
Yes.
are you looking forward to that?
I am.
There's a bunch of artists performing, right? I think there's almost 30 artists that are performing. I'm guessing from the safety of your own homes, and it's going to play out on TV as well. How excited are you about that?
I'm really excited about it, and especially because it's World Music Day, you know? It's always such a wonderful day to celebrate just the fact that we all get to connect with each other through something so beautiful, through an art form that, you know, gives our life so much joy. And just generally, I feel like this whole World Music Day initiative that VH1 is doing has been full of joy. It's been full of, you know, positivity that we really could use right now. And the lineup is obviously incredible. I'm singing basically one of my most hopeful, happy songs that I've written. And it's like, I mean, if given a choice, I tend to write a lot of sad music all the time. But I think this one, you know, just the fact that they reached out and said, okay, this is World Lift Up. We're trying to motivate people and trying to, like, you know, leave a positive impact during these, you know, really difficult times and challenging times. Made me want to, like, sing that song. And just, like, performing that song is going to be really nice to share with the world. And, yeah, it's really nice that they're giving independent music this platform on a day like World Music Day. Looking forward. Yeah.
I absolutely love it. I think more and more indie music deserves to be on as much media and as much, as many platforms as possible. And I love it. Having indie music on TV, I mean, again, I'm going to give away my age, but last time we saw that happen in earnest was a long, long time ago. So mm-hmm. I'm not going to talk about that. But wonderful, and all the best for that performance. I'm going to go into a quick break on this episode, and we will be back on the other side to continue our conversation with Kamakshi Khanna. Back right after these messages. Back on Storytellers and Storysellers with Kamakshi Khanna, and we have a surprise for you. Before we continue talking to Kamakshi, I have conned her into performing her new upcoming single, Dur. I'm going to pretend this is the first time she's performing it in public, and yeah, that's what I'm going with. Kamakshi, this is Kamakshi Khanna with Dur. Take it away.
Lapata, kyun hai bata, tera mera pata, kaam ka kyun ho gaya, thundla sara sita, gehre gehre pani jaise gehre hai ye pal, is pal mein doobna tha, phir kyun taire hum, kyun hai Thank you.
that was wonderful, man. I'm a bit speechless right now, but that is awesome.
Thank you
so much.
Thank you,
and all the best for when this comes out. Wonderful song. Yes. That you put together. Thank you so much for that performance. How do you expect this song to do when it goes out? What kind of response are you putting out there? What are you thinking? What's in your head when you put this out?
I actually have no idea, because to be very honest, this is the first time I'm doing something like this. It's a very collaborative project, from the lyrics to the entire production has been done by Kabir. He's an artist. His artist name is Oaf, and he writes like really interesting, very tasteful, minimalist pop music, which I really, really love. Very different from anything I've done before. Sameer Rahat, working with him, the kind of words that he's put to my emotions are very different from anything. The visuals by Arsh Grewal, everything is just very new. So I think it's best if I go without any expectations and just share this part of myself. So I'm not that cheesy. My last single was called Kareeb, and this single is called Door. And a lot of people think I'm, it's like the opposite, and I'm trying to like prove, like make a point. But it's honestly a coincidence. I probably need to learn more words. But it is honestly in a very opposite direction from Kareeb. Right. Kareeb was a super cute, heartwarming, self-love. This is actually about, really living on the surface, living life on the surface, not really getting into the depths of anything. Mm-hmm. We've, at least, especially during this time, and generally, I have this tendency sometimes to really feel out of it. There's no way, a better way of describing it. And it's scary. It's like everything around you doesn't feel real anymore. Everything around you doesn't feel like, everything feels a little, you know.
Right.
You feel so distanced from everything and from within yourself. Like there's just distance everywhere, and that's what I wanted to capture in this song. And because it's such a difficult emotion to feel, it was also difficult to articulate. And it's also a song about feeling distanced from your partner. If you hear the lyrics, I think it could be perceived both ways, where someone you're very close to and someone you spend a lot of time with, but you still feel really distanced from them. And it's a very dark, haunting feeling to feel
right.
And that's what I tried to get and capture in this song. And it's very new. The visuals are really different. After a long time, it's a music video with me in it. And I'm just happy that I've tried something new. Like, I'm not expecting much. I'm not expecting anything crazy. It is a risk. It is very different. It is new for me. But I'm just happy that I'm pushing myself to try new things. And that's something I intend to keep doing. Yeah.
I love it. Absolutely. I mean, thank you for performing once again. I love the sort of sparse arpeggi and the key change. I love the sort of, like you said, it's a little bit of lyrics of longing and a little bit of surface. I think it'll do fantastically well. And I'm looking forward to the music video as well. Let me ask you this about being a musician in this day and age, right? Music videos definitely are a big part of what helps your music travel, right? And you had, I think Kareeb had the stop motion video that went out as well, which is a lovely piece. But of late, what I've seen you doing is super interesting that you're doing this as well, is you're treating yourself as more than a singer-songwriter, musician. You're, I think, debuting as a social media performer as well, if I may say so. Two things that really stood out to me. One was the conference call piece that you did with Tejas and Dink. That was insane. That was a lot of fun. Where it was musical comedy. Was that the first time you tried your hands at something like musical comedy that way? That was wonderful.
100%. Honestly, I'm crazy about musicals, okay? It's been my dream to just koi mujhe le lo, kuch bhi, like just put me in a musical, I'll be the happiest person. And it hasn't happened till now. But when Tejas called me, he's like, yeah, it sounds ridiculous. You can totally feel free to say no. But with doing a conference call, which is also a musical, I was like, yes, I'm in. I'm so excited about it. And it was funny that the first time I actually like debuted in a musical and was dramatic was in front of my screen in my room. So as much as this year has been like really, you miss people, but the fact, the possibilities are crazy that they managed to, they like wrote the entire script and everything, and it was hilarious. Like, it cracks me up every time I think about it. And it was so much fun to be able to do that yourself in your room, you know. It's kind of crazy how it all worked out. It was a lot of effort because you had to like respond to things which were not actually being said. Mm-hmm. Like you were, it, there was like, everybody was just a ghost in your room.
Right.
It was wonderful to try something like that. That's what this year has been like, trying new things. And when it comes to social media, I think I would still say that I'm still doing, you know, making a conscious choice to still do the things that, you know, make me an artist, which is really share my music with people and connect with them. But it's been something I've actively been consistent with, which I've never done before. Social media was just this another thing, another medium to express yourself apart from gigs. Like, ha, we should post about this gig, ha? Kuch toh we should do on social media. But now it's all become that. So I've kind of tried to make it my stage and make it my baby and like be consistent. One thing that we've been doing is called Green Room Sessions. The idea was when I, like, so a huge person, like a person who's been a huge part of my journey this year, Deepika Seth, she's my manager. We talk about everything. We, like, every week we just come up with ideas and talk. And we're like these two very excited, enthusiastic, you know, dreamers who want to do great things. And it's really nice to have a person like that, you know, be such an integral part of my journey as a musician. And we just decided that whatever happens, you share a new song every month. This will give you the discipline.
Right.
And I also believe that, like, it gave me the discipline to just write a new song. Simple. Not something crazy. Not something unachievable. Share it with the world. And do it in your own way. Like, make it something of your own. So the first song that I actually put out, it's called Like You Wanted, during the lockdown. It was like a full song, like a 3-4 minute song. While I was about to put it up, I just like, I really love my bedroom. Like, that's something that's really helped me this lockdown. Like, even if I've been here the whole year, I've just done it up in a way that I really, it is my happy place. It makes me feel all right. Kinds of good feelings. And it's also, my walls are green in color.
Right.
And I feel like it was kind of symbolic of, you know, the fact that we're all in our backstage green rooms,
right,
rehearsing right now, getting ready for the real world and go out on stage. So that's why I like immediately thought of it before posting it. I was like, what if we call this the Green Room Sessions? Is that cheesy? Deepika's like, no, I love it. Let's do it. I was like, cool. Let's call it the Green Room Sessions. And now we're on episode 7 and it's gotten so much love, so much warmth. And we're planning to do some really interesting things and make this a, I don't want to call it a property, but it kind of is. Make it, you know, something that's totally mine and just something that I do. Uh-huh. And it's literally from this damn bedroom that I've been stuck in for this whole year. So I'm trying to find ways to just make this fun for me as a musician, you know.
I love the sort of streak of authenticity running through that, because, hey, it's a green room, but it's also my bedroom, which is green in color. It's yeah. Wonderful. I really like it. I think you chanced upon something awesome there. And all the best with episode 7, 8, and no matter how many else you do. Let me ask you this as well. Very recently, you had a Reels remix go viral.
Yeah.
That's still a word that people use. And it was absolutely awesome. It was you singing an a cappella version of Kareem. And it kind of took over the internet for a day or so. Tell us about that. I think that was the first time you created something in that vein as well. Or is that something you've been dabbling with and you just thought this was the right time to do it for your own song? How did that go about?
No, it was definitely the first time I tried it out. So the remix feature has been there for a while now on Instagram. And I didn't know that, like, it just didn't strike me. I actually saw this artist, Bryden Lewis. He does these really cool remix things where he sings, like, the backing parts and then you can sing the main vocals. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was really sweet and really fun because you're getting to collaborate with musicians again through something so simple, like just putting your earphones on and, you know, singing in your bed. You know, it's such an easy way to, like, sing with people.
I have ruined Take Me to Church multiple times in my own house. My wife is sick of it.
Multiple times. I love that song. But yeah. So I just, you know, thought it might be. And Jacob Collier put up this challenge. That's what inspired me. I totally stole his idea. The coolest thing is, I'm so proud of this. I ended up like being a part of the Jacob Collier challenge, and he actually shared my video in his story.
Right.
Which was crazy. Like, he's an artist that I consider as like a musical god, and I love him and I'm crazy about him. And I was actually nervous to even share it, because it was like, when I saw like the kind of musicians that were doing it, I was like, ye toh bahut hi matlab, you know, next level musicians hai. This is not your scene. Like, you know, one more thing, I'm very hard on myself.
Right.
So I almost didn't do the Jacob Collier challenge because I thought I wasn't good enough to do it. But then I, like at 3 a.m. something pushed me and I was like, okay, you know what, let's record this. The next day I put it out and Jacob Collier was like, you know, I'm going to share a few videos coming from all over the world. And he shared mine, which was a huge moment for me. Just the fact that he liked something I did, one thing, mattered so much.
Right.
And that's what pushed me to be like, hey, Kareeb is going to hit 100k streams. Why don't I do the same thing with Kareeb? And again, I was super nervous. I was like, why will people sing my song? It's not like a popular song or something. But 100 people made a remix out of that. And I think for me, that's huge. That 100 people not only know the song, have heard of the song, but took out the time, took their phones, sang the song on a Tuesday day, like, you know, in the middle of the day, which was really special. And it was also my birthday that day, coincidentally. Oh, wow. So it was just a very positive, like, you know, it was a really nice way to turn 28, to have 100 people singing your song. So just worked
out. Belated happy birthday to you.
Thank you.
But it was really wonderful. I'm so proud to see someone put in the effort. I mean, it's effort, right? I mean, when you see it from the consumer side, you're like, oh yeah, usne ab to apna khud ka gana record kiya aur kar diya, right? But it also takes effort to do this, right? And I really wish more musicians put in that kind of effort, right? I think it does two or three things for you. First and foremost, it puts your music out there, right? Not just for people who love it to discover, but through those people, a bunch of other people also discover your music. Almost immediately, you have this sort of virtuous cycle that's pushing your music out to more people. And it's not feeling like a sales pitch, right? Hey, ye gana suna kya? You're seeing a performance and discovering a song through that. Second thing is, I think it does a whole lot of good to your social media numbers, these things, right? I mean,
absolutely.
Social strategy or whatever, people come and say, oh, post regularly or do this or do that. But the essence of it is, how do you use social media as an extension of your performance? And I think the piece that you did for Kareeb was just a wonderful representation of that. I absolutely loved it. I hope you do more. And I hope thousands of people recreate your songs.
Oh, going thank forward. You.
Just to wrap this episode up, I'm going to do a recently christened segment called Water with Vineet.
Okay.
I'll ask you a bunch of quick questions. You have to be quick to respond. I will ask you three questions. First one, right? Pop R&B singer-songwriters in your list of greatest of all time.
Oh my God. Leanne LaHavis.
Love her.
Definitely. Beyoncé.
Right.
And... oh my God. Two were easy. Now the third one.
Now only one spot remaining.
It's like there's so many names.
Right.
Does this have to be R&B?
No, it could be anyone. It could be like R&B, pop, singer-songwriter.
Okay, whatever. Sarah Bareilles.
Tara Bareilles, all right.
Sarah Bareilles, yeah.
Oh, Sarah, I'm so sorry. I heard Tara for some reason.
No.
All right, my second question to you. How did you start learning the guitar and how did you get over your like initial... figuring out how to learn it, right? What was that like?
This is a kind of a long answer. Is that okay?
Sure. Absolutely.
So I started learning the guitar the first. Before I started learning how to sing also, I had a music teacher.
Right.
Who I feel so terrible. I was such a horrible student. I was never interested. I would, like, he kept teaching me this song. Chura liya hai tumne. You know that riff that you play? So that was the first thing I learned. So it just wasn't working out. And I lost interest in the guitar for years after that. And I just thought it was too tough. And, you know, and I'm still a noob, when it comes to the guitar. I'm not a good guitarist. I don't know anything. Right. It's an instrument that I really struggle with. With the keyboard, I feel like I know my shit now. With the ukulele, it's much easier. But with the guitar, it's actually a really tough instrument for me to play. I still struggle with it. And I'm just finding ways for me to, you know, make it easier for me to play the guitar and write my music. So the guitar for me is a songwriting tool more than it is an instrument that I actually play. Like, I'm going to be honest here and say I'm actually a noob. I don't play the guitar really well. But it's something I'm learning, and hopefully I have a goal that in some years I would be able to call myself a good guitarist. But let's see.
Wonderful. And very humble of you to put that out there as well. And gives me a little bit of validation as well. I've spent, I don't know how much, 20 years trying to learn the guitar, and I am no good. Not at all.
I feel you. I totally feel you.
My last question to you is three Indian indie singer-songwriters whose music you really enjoy.
Wow, three. That's hard. Abhilasha Sinha, not just because she's one of my best friends, but I absolutely love her music. Three. It's hard. There's so many. I think Parik and Singh, I listen to them a lot. And at the top of my head right now, I think Ditti. I really, really think she's an incredible artist. But they're just at the top of my head. There are way too many. Okay, wait. I want to also say Mali. So Malvika Manoj, definitely. Mm-hmm. Mali, Abhilasha. Then Parik and Singh and Ditti. I'm going to just put four. And so many more. But these four are artists that I actually actively listen to a lot.
Love it. I love Ditti as well. Yeah. I think she's just phenomenal. Mali as well. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Kamakshi, for sharing your favorites.
Thank you, Vineet. This was so much fun.
It was. My last question before I let you go is, you said Dur is coming out on the 18th,
yes,
which is a day after this episode goes out.
Yeah.
What's next on the cards? Is there an EP? Are you planning an album? What's next?
So there's a lot, but immediately after this, I'm releasing three more singles this year. Pretty much every single month or every 2 months, there's a song coming out. A lot of collaborations, an EP, and also working on an album for the next year. These are all the things on the cards, but let's see how much of it actually works out. But right after Dur, I'm releasing another collaboration that is really exciting and completely different from anything I've done before. So this year is basically about trying new things, and everything that I'll be putting out is going to be a little bit of a risk, a little bit of, you know, challenging everything I knew about myself as an artist. So that's exciting.
Wonderful. I wish you all the best on this journey of challenging yourself and putting new cool stuff out. Kamakshi, absolutely wonderful talking to you. Thank you so much for spending time. To everyone who's listening, please check into VH1, MTV or MTV Beats on World Music Day to see Kamakshi and a host of other great indie musicians perform in a program called Lift Up. The idea is to lift up the spirits of everybody who's watching during this difficult time on World Music Day. Do check it out. That's on VH1, MTV and MTV Beats. That's it from me on this episode of Storytellers and Storysellers. Thank you so much to the wonderful Kamakshi Khanna for spending time with us.
Thank you, Vineet. So much fun.
This is me, Vineet Kanabar, saying goodbye.